The Learn Me Something Podcast with your hosts, Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum.
Hey there, all my good friends in podcast
all
land.
All of our good friends.
Our good friends, my bad. My name is Rich. I'm here with my good friend, as always, Aaron. We're over at Alex's place, so that means one and only thing. This is Learn Me Something, another dramatic episode.
Exciting, intriguing podcast, as always.
This one's going to have it all.
And actually utilize my full...
Let's hear your sexy voice, Aaron.
Oh, do you want me to bring out the sexy voice?
I believe
I left the sexy voice at home tonight, actually.
Phone sex voice tonight. We should do a whole episode where both of us talk in our phone sex voice.
Well, we could do, you know, you had kind of touched on the addiction one where we talked a little about porn. And I almost want to do, you know, like an actual full like sex and...
Let's do full on.
All related.
Full frontal.
Yeah, you know. So as we are here to apparently learn something, the episode du jour is, you know, one that affects all of us all the time, every minute, every second, digital distractions coming at you. No, you know, you can't avoid them, sadly.
No.
Even if you silence your phone, the vibration, I'm sure, you know, if we've got our phones and everything silenced here, I hope everybody's got their
phone. Yeah, I did but, that before we started.
You know, even the vibration. Mm-hmm. Is enough to actually cause a distraction.
Even just seeing it.
Even seeing
just,
it. Yeah.
Am I getting, is it blinking?
And that's kind of where, you know, they've been talking about this laptop debate in classrooms and whether kids should be allowed to have laptops and whether that is not only a distraction for them, but also for everyone around them.
Yeah. I see the point. Here's my impression of it or thinking of it, okay? It's like a tidal wave, man. It's like we're going in that direction and you can't say, let's stop doing it. Let's just put on the brakes. We're just going to go back to the, you're going in that direction. You have to find a way where everyone can have this technology, but have it so it's not impacting our lives and teach responsibility and teach, you know, I don't know what the answers are,
well,
but
see,
I don't
we're gonna,
think...
we're going to get into that, right?
Because right,
that I think is exactly, you know, where we're kind of going with all of this is that there is a way of keeping those distractions from ruling your life.
Yeah. And it's a lot of it's discipline though, right?
And that's exactly what it comes down to, right? You know, these distractions, you know, they're coming at you and you really have to carve out your time of being not distracted. And we're going to get into the reasons, like the actual underlying brain neuroscience behind why you don't want to be distracted while you're trying to learn something in a bit here.
Yeah.
Right.
So everyone put your phones down.
Well, that's where I first wanted to start with. Funny you should say that, because that's, you know, the first thing I want to get into is the fact that, you know, we live in BC here and they have just changed the distracted driving laws and doubled all the fines and made it very, you
how
know,
how much is it now? It's like,
it is now apparently going up to $368 for first time offenders. Well, I'm sure, you know,
that was
as of May 9th. They have some stats where you're 23 times more likely to have an accident if you're distracted. Right. And the idea that, you know, people are texting while driving, that's, but I mean, you know, I've seen girls applying makeup and stuff before the phones were an issue. And so, you know, unfortunately it's just been the problem of people don't take driving seriously enough to realize that they're, you know, hauling around 2000 tons of.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's also just not aware of what your surroundings are, not aware of your impact
and
to
that,
other people.
That is a lot of it.
Thinking that you're maybe invincible or things will never happen to you. I think that's a big part of it too.
Like when I took my driver training, they always taught me to check your mirrors every 7 seconds. And it seemed excessive until you actually realized that that's the only way that you can actually, like, especially in a city, you know, when you got a bunch of cars going around you, how else are you supposed to keep track of, you know, who is around you, you know? And if you're thinking that you can just turn into the lane beside you, right? You know, if you haven't checked it, you know, within probably about 7 seconds, there's most likely someone there.
And the shoulder checks too.
That too.
Yeah,
which,
you gotta do that.
You know.
And if you're Jack Bauer from 24, it's every like half a second you're checking the windows, the mirrors.
But when,
have
you,
you
know,
ever
you
watched
your,
that? I don't know.
If you have your phone in front of you, right? Or if you're, you know, waiting for that text to come, it's very tough to, you know.
Yeah, I remember when phones first came out and texting while driving or being on the phone while driving was no problem at all.
Well, really, back in the day when it was a flip phone. And
back
that
then.
That would have been nigh impossible, I would think, just try to send a text while driving.
No, I remember
days.
I had...
Although I suppose you could memorize the, you know, 1-2-3, 2-2, 1-1-3-3.
What were those things called? The trios when they first came out with the pens and everything? And you had to... I had one of those, and this was probably 2000.
Okay, so you're using a two-handed device while driving. That's even better.
I know, I was, seriously. I'm not even joking, man.
Wow, that's a virtuoso right there.
Yeah, but no, it was a thing. Who cares, you know?
See, my problem is, you know, like I've been 25 years or so driving, and I've done some distracted driving myself, and I've never, knock on wood, had an accident. So unfortunately, I'm one of those, you know, I do, at this point, I have my thing that I put my phone in. I don't, I make a point to not...
Yeah.
You know,
I try not to touch it. And I'll be honest with you. I do on times. I try not to reply to anything, but sometimes I'm like, especially for work things, especially if it's like, okay, I got to fucking like reply.
See, my
to
problem
this person.
Is like, if I, again, because it's not technically in my hand, I have a hands-free device for it.
Yep.
So, I mean, if I'm at a light and I'm, you know, typing 2 minutes, right, to reply to say that I'm going to be there in 2 minutes. I mean, now, then it comes down to, you know, could he just have waited two minutes? I mean, it was two fucking minutes. Couldn't you have just goddamn waited two minutes?
I needed to know, Aaron.
Needed
I needed
to know.
To know.
I know.
Where were you?
It was absolutely desperate. I know you guys were waiting downstairs for me so that we could get up here and conduct this wonderful podcast. And it was absolute, you know, desperate that you knew.
But. Okay, so if it's attached to your car, which mine is too, then technically it's not a hands, it's handheld device.
But then technically I was still, well, I mean, now again, I was stopped. Yep. So, and technically, I wasn't, you know, driving distracted.
But you were distracted. What's the difference between that and using your radio and finding a station and tuning in and changing the volume?
And again, like, I was the guy that I always know who's around me, what's going on around me at any time, so that I don't have to worry about taking my, you know, like, I can take that second of look over here and I know that, you know, when I look back up, you know, I'm probably going to still be, you know, have enough time to react to the people in front of me or around me or whatever, you know? So, you know, but again, it comes down to, I mean, I'm a special case. You know, I'm the first to admit that, you know.
You meaning that you're, I mean, but everyone thinks that they're that,
exactly.
I mean, right? Like,
and we get into the Dunning-Kruger effect where, you know, you think you're so good at it, but then they do tests on us and they find that, oh no, you're really not that, you know, and we get into, we're going to get into multitasking here. And how everyone thinks you're so good at multitasking, right? How you can do two things at once, too, you know, and your brain is totally up on this. I got this. I can totally text while doing, you know, I can totally, and again, the unfortunate truth is that we're just really not.
No.
We're really, our brains are just not wired for that. And who knows, you know, over the course of evolution, now that we've finally got these things in our hands and, you know, we're not just trying to figure out how to start a fire. And be able to survive the night, you know, now that we have these devices, you know, and they are actually making physiological changes to our brains, right? So as we evolve, you know, our brains and our you know, we're going to change due to our interaction with a lot of these devices.
Yeah, I see it for sure. I mean, we're not, I mean, programmed to have, you know, such a dependence on these things. And in my phone, everything's in my phone. Like I don't know, my wife's number is in my phone. You know, I know my number because I give it out to people. My work number is in my phone.
And I remember the day when I had a landline and you had to memorize everybody's number,
remember,
because that was the only way, right, that you could get a hold of anybody.
Not anymore, man. No. Things are changing.
And even then you had to, if they weren't home.
Yeah, you couldn't get a hold of them.
Yeah, exactly. Then you just went.
Ten
you just
rings.
Went on with your day, you know. And if it was an emergency, well, they didn't know.
I remember my parents. Okay, if it rings 10 times, and just hang up.
Yeah,
because you couldn't do anything. It was
that
like
was our,
just
yeah.
sit there and
that was
ring
kind of
forever.
Right? And then he's going one.
Yeah, count the rings.
Two, three.
Okay, 10 rings
was
not
that. That was our excitement back in the day, counting the rings and the ring.
And the phone was stuck to the kitchen wall. It couldn't go anywhere. Stand in the kitchen.
I remember the day that we got the 10-foot long springy cord that you could actually stretch out and actually, because I'm a pacer. That's my, like, I always.
My wife is too, yeah.
When I'm on the phone, I'm always walking around, or it's just kind of, you know, I'll put my headphones on and just walk and just kind of. That's how I talk and on the phone. But.
Yeah, I know. Back in the days when we were so restricted, you kids have no idea how lucky you have it now.
And that, again, we get down to, you know, how this has changed our brains, you know, like when we actually had to memorize those things versus now, like I still, you know, the map of the city, I don't really know. Like, I've got the general idea of where I'm going, but I don't, like, I get around by GPS.
So do I.
I use my phone to get pretty much everywhere because it tracks traffic.
Yeah, that's why I use it.
And especially in the city, that's, you know, it's invaluable.
Because going to work, I go all the way downtown Vancouver and traffic is crazy. And there's a million ways you can do it. And it always finds the best way to go.
Exactly, exactly. Let alone the fact that if it tells me that I'm going to be there at 7:03, I'm going to be there pretty much right at 7:03.
Helps with the road rage for me. Because, you know, I can see, okay, there's traffic, no I'm going to get here at this time.
Yeah, exactly. And that it does really help with that because, you know, you're not sitting there going, I'm going to be an hour late, I'm going to be an hour late. You can go, oh, no, I'm only going to be 5 minutes
late. I'm going to be there this time, okay.
It's going to be okay, right?
Chill out,
exactly,
man.
Exactly. 5 minutes, they'll deal with 5 minutes. I'll stay 5 minutes late. It's fine.
So these things, they help us. I mean, these technologies, they help us. I mean, I cannot imagine life back the way it was. I can access anything. I can find out any bit of information I want on my phone at any time I want to find it.
And that, like, Einstein made a point long ago where you're better off to kind of know where to find information than to try to cram everything into your head, right? So trying to memorize all of this stuff doesn't necessarily help you. And I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, you got the memory palace where people can actually apparently, you know, memorize
Sherlock Holmes
everything.
Stuff.
Yeah, you could, there are, you know, there's, what is it, eidetic memory, where you can actually have a you know, a decent photograph in your mind of pretty much, you know, there's the autistic guy who can, you know, look at a skyline for 30 minutes and then do a full drawing of that, like, picture of that skyline in full detail. So there's something in the brain that actually allows us to keep that kind of, you know, information there.
Yeah.
And the idea that we're now not using those parts of our brain, but are offloading it, you know, does that make us smarter or is that kind of impeding our progress? That's kind of where, you know, it becomes a question of, are we using the technology or is the technology using us?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're using technology. I mean, I go back to
times tables. You're special. You're a special case. So I understand that you're an amazing, you know, and you're in full control of all your impulses and you know, you have no addictive, you know, your brain certainly has nothing in it that goes out of its...
No, I'm quite the opposite, actually. but when thinking about stuff like that, like times tables, you know, and kids sitting and memorizing, you know, those. Mm-hmm. And why? Well, you're not going to walk around with a calculator your whole life. Well, guess what? Now we are.
And that was kind of, and I remember at the time when they were trying to make me memorize multiplication tables, and I was looking at my calculator and going, what are you doing to me here? like, you're going to tell me that when I leave this classroom, that calculator stays here and I can never use that calculator. Right now, granted, I'm the guy, like, I'm a carpenter now, and so I'm the guy on site that's the human calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do that math in my head now, and they'll test it with their phone, and I can usually calculate it faster in my head now than I can on the phone.
Yeah.
Most times, and I'm pretty accurate.
Yeah, I'm shit at that, man.
Which was something I never thought I'd be able to do, and apparently I've taught myself how to do it.
But that's great. Apparently. I mean, but the is memorizing information important as knowing how to access that information? I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, when I train people at work, I don't train them, this is all the information you need to know, because there's so much of it. It's like, if you need to know information on this, you can find it here and make them more self-sufficient. So you're not overwhelming them with that information, because I don't know how much of a benefit of it that is. I mean... people that can off the top of their head know what 7 times 6 is. Is that a benefit to people that can
but
do
I
it with a calculator?
I mean, for me, it's more understanding the mechanism of how to work that in your head, right? Like, it's a matter of breaking it down.
Yeah,
right?
Understanding how you get to that number.
Exactly.
And I get you there,
right?
Yeah,
and
for
it's
sure.
Not necessarily memorizing, you know, 7 times 5, 7 times 6, 7 times 7, 7 times 8.
It's understanding
but
how.
Understanding the mechanics behind it, and understanding that if you kind of break it out to 7 times 5 and 7 times one, you can add those together and make the same, right? And that's easier for your brain to figure out than to memorize all of those.
Yeah. And tables. That's what, when people say, why do you need algebra in school? We'll never use this stuff. And I disagree. I think you use it all the time because it teaches you how to think.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you how to look at a problem and figure out how to, you know, if you solve one problem this way and you see another problem with a similar, you know, elements to it, then you can solve it pretty much using what you'd use for the other one, mm-hmm. you know, with different variables in there. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, but that's teaching someone how to think and not memorizing. I mean, if, you know, they don't teach you, you know, like the formulas, they don't have you memorize the formulas, they have you memorize how to solve the formulas, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I think the same is when, you know, these phones are great because, you know, if you know how to access the information, and there's so much information on there that we don't even know how to access them all. One of the best threads I like on Reddit is the ones where, like, tell me a website that I need to visit that I have never visited before, or what's an app I need to download that I haven't downloaded before. And you go on those and you find some crazy stuff that you would not even have thought were existed out mm-hmm. there. You know, I saw one the other day. What's a, what was it? It was just on there today. What's a gadget for less than $50. What's a good gadget for less than $50 I should buy? And so many people had it on there. So there's so much out there, even though technology is changing it and making it a little bit simpler for us, is it kind of expanding what we need to know, if that makes any sense. Like the amount of stuff out there that we still don't know. So I don't think it's, you know, we're evolving, we're going in this direction. And a lot of people say that we need to get rid of these things and stop them and go back to how things used to be. And I don't know if that's true. One of the things that I run into a lot is millennials in the workplace, because you're not allowed to have your phone in there. Mm-hmm. Because it's run by people that are 60 years old, 50 years old, that don't know how to use a phone, or don't understand the importance of having the phone, or don't know what the phone means to that person.
Again, but now we're going to get, what we get into is the problem of having that phone actually distract your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem is that these 60-year-olds understand that having that phone means that you're not focused on what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and now no matter what I tell you, you're not thinking about what I'm telling you. You're thinking about what's on my phone. What am I going? What am I doing? What's da 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 da?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, you know, connection. There's no focus. And the problem is the older people, they see that. They look at you and they go, you're not paying attention to me, and fuck you.
I think you're right in a degree.
Because I do that. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Because I can see when you're looking at your phone and when you're not paying attention to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then how am I supposed to think that you're paying attention and actually understanding? And then when I'm talking to you and you're obviously not understanding, now I'm frustrated because I was just trying to talk to you about something that was important to me and you couldn't even just put down your phone for 5 fucking seconds.
And that's true because... You know? I mean, I'm on my phone a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm on my phone for work, and it's not an excuse, but I get a lot of emails that sometimes I work after hours and I have to respond to them. And so I'm on my phone a lot and my wife's there and we're talking, and sometimes I'll say, oh, you know, I got to reply to this quick. And I just pick it up and reply to it. And I don't think it's a big deal because I'm in my head and I'm focused on this. But when it happens to me where I'm with someone and they're picking up the phone and start talking, I'm like, oh, wow, that's kind of a little bit annoying.
And that's just one thing. That was one angle that I had never actually considered with all of this. In all of my research and all of this, is a word that hasn't been thrown around a whole lot is stress.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the fact that all of these distractions, all this technology around us is an additional thing that we're taxing our brains with, that we're not prepared technically to, you know. And so now you have, again, this additional layer of things that you need to have in front of you
mm-hmm.
before you can even live in the day-to-day, you know. And so it's no wonder that so many people are falling behind in all of, you know, and unable to keep on, you know, track of and up with. And I mean, there's no way that you can keep on all of your social media, blah, blah, you know, like you'd spend all your life doing it because that's what they design all of these to do, is to distract you, you know?
I mean, yeah, I see adding stress in situations where your life is full of stress. Like people that claim
that. That's like the problem is the definition of stress is anything that taxes your brain beyond its normal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so your phone is kind of the definition of a stressor, you know, in terms of a psychological thing. It's one of those things that just is constantly on your mind. And now it's become an obsession, right? And now it's something that you cannot put down. You can't let go of. You can't.
Like an addiction,
like an obsessive compulsive disorder. Like they've done studies where they've taken people and locked them in a room for an hour without their phone. And after 15 minutes, they're going crazy. And what do you want me to do? You want me to just sit here without my phone? But what's going on? I'm missing out.
Well, I think that's sad that that happens. I mean,
but it happens to, you know, everyone has that. As soon as you're got this thing in front of you, yeah. Now as soon as it goes away, your brain is going, hey, wait a minute, I like that. That was fun.
You're right. You're right. That does happen. Like I keep dropping.
And we don't realize just how much that actually does affect our brain.
For sure. I keep dropping weights on my phone, so I have to keep taking them in to get fixed. And when I do, like I don't have my phone for sometimes, you know, an hour, mm-hmm. 2 hours. Sometimes a long time it was 4 hours, and it was, but it wasn't that bad. Like it, mm-hmm. like, you know, I just thought, okay, no one can get a hold of me. My biggest thing is because people need to get a hold of me. Mm-hmm. Like important things are happening, and I'm the guy that has to give the thumbs up or thumbs down. So that's kind of like the only thing that. I'm not worried about social media. I don't worry about what people are saying on there.
Well, that's, again, you're special, you know? And you're
special.
Amazing,
thank you.
Right? And then, but there are a lot of people that social media is kind of their, you know,
and that is
hobby.
I think that's a bigger problem where people need to find a hobby because people don't have things in their life, kind of like the addiction we were talking about. When they don't have things in life, they're going to find
or
things
happiness.
In their life.
Or happiness. One of our other previous ones. You know, what makes people happy? Well, having friends.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. they're going to, you know, start to, you know, and now Kim Kardashian, unless, you know, oh, I'm so worried about Kylie Jenner's baby. Like, I'm like, I heard my girls talking in the office about this. I'm like, who the fuck is Kylie Jenner?
And why do you
like,
care about her?
Does she already have kids? You know? Like, who cares? Like, oh, she only started dating this guy. I'm like, who is Kylie Jenner? They're talking about Kylie, like, who the fuck cares?
But that's you know, and it distracts you from the fact that, you know, you're actually not talking to a person. You're talking about another person. And I mean,
yeah.
I get that gives you, you know, if your friends are using that as a full, you know, and you're all
talking
about.
Well, I mean, everyone has hobbies. I mean, that you're going to get involved with, you know, maybe theirs is, you know, and I don't think these people are obsessive about this. They have very good lives and friends and all this stuff. But
everybody has their guilty
pleasures. Yeah, you know? Like you're like, hey, so you can relate to someone about, you know, you like following. But there's some people that's all their life. My wife works with somebody where every day she comes in and talks about what celebrity is dating what celebrity. And, oh, can you believe that these two people broke up? And my wife's like, I don't give a fuck.
And see, now, and you use that, you know, that person as a distraction. But now you correlate that to a laptop in a classroom, mm-hmm. right? And that person talking is the same thing as every time someone on their laptop in a classroom has a notification or something pops up, your eye is drawn to that subconsciously.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing
like
you can do.
It's like that Pavlonian.
It's exactly it. That's yeah. It's a response that you automatically look at that and now you're distracted from, and now you have to pull yourself because the problem is that a lot of those distractions require you to use the same parts of your brain that you're using to be learning something in the first place.
Yeah. Like you ever stand in line at the grocery store and then all of a sudden someone's Facebook notification goes off and like five people check their phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear the
not
the
me. Ding. Mine aren't vibrate. I never hear my notifications.
But that's the thing. Like we trick ourselves. Like there's an effect called the doorway effect, where if you walk through a doorway, your brain actually kind of wipes clean everything that you were thinking about. I call it destinasia. That's the word of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Is destinasia.
So you walk
where,
through a
where
door.
When you walked, yeah, where when okay. you walked into the kitchen, and you're going, what the hell
Why
was
I
here I for? What was I here for?
I call
How
it,
often has that happened to everybody? Destinasia.
I call that Alzheimer's.
But it's not.
Early
it is actually
Alzheimer's.
It is actually an effect of the brain,
hmm.
where every time you walk through a doorway, your brain assumes that you're now in a different situation. That,
really?
That's different from the situation that you walked out of.
Hmm.
And so it kind of resets itself to adapt to the new situation.
Every time you
and
walk
so
th- through a
every
doorway?
Time you walk through a doorway. And so apparently the way to get past that is to focus on what you're going for as you walk through a doorway and to make an actual focus.
We're going to start doing that. I'm going to the kitchen to get
seriously.
Chips. I'm getting chips.
I learned about this a while ago. And
why am I here?
It has made all the fucking difference.
I'm going to start doing
just
that.
Having that awareness of that effect and knowing that that was not Alzheimer's, that was not a problem with my brain, but was actually an effect that's actually built into, and it comes from the fact that, you know, when we were back in the cave,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had a complete, if you were walking out of the cave, you had to adapt very quickly to whatever was going to be jumping or pouncing or mm-hmm. running or, you know, and so you had to, you know, And so your brain had to basically shut off what it was doing and go, what are we going to now? Mm-hmm. Right? What do I got to kill?
You know? I'm going to get chips. I'm just going to get chips.
And that's where a lot, you know, that's where, again, we fool ourselves into thinking we can multitask, that we can do all of these things. Mm-hmm. But in actual reality, our brains are really just not wired for a lot of this stuff. And it comes down to, like, there's actually four different negative outcomes of multitasking while learning anything, okay? And the first one is that it takes longer to complete any assignment mm-hmm. because you have to refocus, mm-hmm. right? The second one is there's actually a mental fatigue. So the stress that leads to mistakes, mm-hmm. okay? So switching gears, right, going from trying to learn something and then looking at your phone mm-hmm. or getting a notification or whatever, that pulls you away from your focus and now you have to go back into it, which taxes your brain and actually causes you to have, right? It's a lot more work to have to go back to it than to just stay focused on what you were doing, mm-hmm. right? The third one is there's also impairment of subsequent memory due to dividing our intention, right? So trying to get back to that memory mm-hmm. is harder because you haven't, you know, told your brain to save that into the long-term memory. Yeah. And so it'll delete that the first chance it gets.
Yeah.
Okay. And the fourth one, and this is the kind of the one that I want to talk about, you know, because this one was one that I really was just kind of going, oh, wow, you know, and what they talk about was a lack of transfer. And this is apparently a neuroscience term that talks about where when distracted, our brains store information in actually a different part of the brain, okay? And this leads to being much less adept at extending and extrapolating new knowledge to novel contexts, okay? So it means that when you're distracted, you can learn something, but then that information can't be related to new information as it comes in. It's not stored in a part of the brain that allows you to extrapolate, you know, or use that information in different ways. You can only kind of use it as you stored mm-hmm. it, right? Which is a very shallow way of learning anything. And it doesn't allow, like, a lot of what we do as human beings is tying things together, mm-hmm. right? That's technically one of the definitions of genius, is someone who can look at something and find a new way of using it.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't get that when you're learning it distracted, because your brain actually doesn't allow you to.
Now, as I'm listening to you speak, I remember my aunt was a teacher and she was talking about, and then she taught a long time ago, sorry, Aunt Sue, that you're not saying you're old, but way before cell phones. And
I remember way before cell phones, so that's not.
Me too. I went to high school before cell phones. Mm-hmm. And she was mentioning her difficulty understanding kids that had like a left brain thinking mm-hmm. where they had to do something in order to be able to listen to what was happening.
Yeah.
And she was having like students that would like a doodle or walk or something like that. And that was the only way that they could absorb the
information. Because in a lot of ways what they found, like the guys that are really good at math, okay, like you were talking about people doing math in your head.
Yeah.
The guys that can, you know, multiply four figure numbers, mm-hmm. they're using a different part of their brain. They're not using what normally, so everyone else that would be given that problem uses this particular part of the brain. These guys are employing like their movement center. It's tying into other parts of their brain that's not related to, but allows them to get that extra horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. And so if you're, you know, fidgeting or something like that, in a lot of cases, like for me, I did that too when I was a kid. Every time I was, because it was just something of kind of getting that anxiety out of my brain and allowing me to actually kind of focus on what was going on by distracting my brain on the subconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, where you know, I've got that constant thing going in the back of the head. If it's not a song, it's you know, something that's rattling around in there or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And it was just a way of just kind of distracting my brain enough to be able to go, oh, that's what we're, okay, that's what you're talking about? Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's with the songs getting stuck in your head? What song do you have stuck in your head right now? You have one.
No,
you must.
Actually, I don't.
Alex, what song do you have stuck
in
your head?
I'm purely focused.
Come on, man.
Actually, I'm kind of purely focused on this right now.
I don't think there's been a day in the past 20 years I haven't had a song stuck in my head.
Seriously, as soon as we are done this, I will go into, you know, my brain will go into, okay, let's go into.
Right, currently, it's Paradise City by Guns N' Roses, and mm-hmm. I don't know why.
The Swiss apparently did a study on it. They're called earworms, and the only way of getting rid of them is to listen to the song from beginning to end.
Yeah,
and then listen to something else.
Yeah,
because your brain gets into a loop, And the only way of getting out of that loop is to basically fulfill that loop and then move it to something else.
Okay, I'll try that.
Then you get that into your head, and then you have to repeat that.
I swear to God, I don't think
it's all over again.
I literally don't think there's been a day where I haven't had a song at some point stuck in my head.
Sadly, that's my brain. Like, I'll hear a little fragment of a song. Yeah. I'll just be walking past something. I'll hear two notes, and that'll send my brain into...
I fucking hate that, especially a song you hate.
Well, it's the worst when I'm walking. If it's the same pace as the step that I'm taking, then it just automatically falls into that, and then I'll just start... and then it's the bopping as I walk. And
your brain craves repetition. I know that. That's why I hit songs like this.
It's so easily distracted. Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm getting at here is this whole thing that, you know, you think that you can text, you think that you can, you know, do all this stuff and you really just can't.
Yeah.
And they're saying that it's going to be like this distracted driving thing is apparently going to be one of the number one killers of teens as we get more into.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. It's number one killer. I mean, when we did the road rage, that was the number one killer, you know, and there's some horrific, like they have those PSAs on people that have killed people.
Well, that's the worst part, like, you know, as you see the one where, you know, they bring a bunch of teenagers into a room and they ask them, you know, how many times you texted, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, the girl says to them, okay, well, you know, just so you know, my family all died when they were hit by a distracted driver. Right. I was in the hospital for 6 months or whatever. Mm. Right. And it was all because this person was texting while driving.
You feel like a dick, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Just put you in your place immediately. And it's just that amount of perspective of like, how would you feel?
Yeah.
How would you feel if you know, and I mean, you may do it a thought, like I say this at work all the time because I work with, you know, heavy machinery.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this all the time where, you know, you may do it 1,000 times the wrong way and it'll work every time.
That one time.
And it may not be you. That's the worst part is you may not kill you. You may kill someone else. And now you got to drag that around for the rest of your life just because you couldn't be bothered to just put your damn phone down for 2 minutes. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's where it becomes this, you know, like I said, I've tried to make it real, you know, because I just try to have those mental exercises every once in a while of, oh shit, oh damn it. That would be, you know, as again, I kind of work in that industry where I have to have those, you know, like, okay, what's the worst case scenario here? All right.
And it's, you got to think of it that way. And those PSAs, they're good because, you know,
because people don't think about it, you know? And again, we think we're superheroes. And kids don't have that same kind of, you know, thought process. You know, their brains don't have those stop blocks that we have set up as adults to go, oh, wait, you know, my friend's son just broke 4 of his toes doing a flip off of 11 steps because he's taken a parkour course. And I was just like, I was looking at him from the start and going, when are you going to break something?
Yeah.
And is it going to be worth it at that point? You know, like at what point does it just not make sense to do these kind of things anymore, you know? And you know, what are the limits of you know your body and your brain, and are you willing to test it?
Yeah, no, I see these stupid idiot videos online where someone's doing something stupid and you're like, and run a group of people too, and it's like, is not one person, you're like, this may go bad.
My problem now is that I find that just, you know, venerating the stupid. And I've gotten so sick of them now. I've gotten to where I just try to shut them off.
Yeah.
You know, like I've seen it. I've seen people getting kicked in the balls. I've seen people falling into
this lowbrow. I mean,
it's not like you really have to go looking for any of that shit ever, you know? So why you'd want to spend your day, you know, sitting on YouTube and watching people get like, yeah, it's funny, but holy crap, man, don't you have better things to do with your life? You know, and that was the other thing here is that, you know, you get into the other side of this whole digital distraction thing. Like everybody talks about how bad it is for you, blah, 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 blah. But what are you really distracting yourself from?
You know, life, man.
And that's the thing, right? Like everybody talks about how it's this horrible distraction, you know, and I mean, there are times when it's a horrible distraction, right? But in general, you know, this whole digital age that we're in, you know, what is it really distracting? Like what was our life before all of this? You know,
it's fucking and boring, what is it? Man. We had to shit without looking at YouTube.
You couldn't. No idea what was going on in North Korea. You know, like we would have. You know, we would have been seeing these things flying overhead and going, "What? What are those? Why is everything exploding?"
Yeah.
You know, and you would have never. There's, you know, the things that we have nowadays are absolutely just.
It is good. I mean, and I use my phone. I mean, when I'm at work and especially I'm in on it and things are getting stressful, I'm going to take 2 minutes. I'm going to look at Reddit. I'm just going to pick it up phone and I'm just going to look at it and just going to chill out for a few minutes. and then do that and then get back to it.
There's, you know, actually,
so it's not all bad.
There's an author called Eric Wester. Damn it all. I knew I wrote it right on the edge of the paper, and I knew that was going to be a problem when I did it. Anyway,
Eric Wester.
There'll be a link. You can find his book. But he talks about how we evolved from food foragers to now information foragers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what this whole digital age has made us. Now we don't, you know, we have abundance of food. Well, we here have abundance of food. And that, you know, again, comes down to an awareness thing. But now we don't look for that anymore. Now we're searching for information.
Yeah, I guess, and that, we have that's to fill kinda, our lives up somehow.
And that's where we have this thing, the issue of, you know,
if, my phone went off, guys. Look.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's the issue of knowing when to shut it off. You know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and
but can you? Is it, if it's ingrained in us, if you're that need to just continue, I don't know.
But that's the problem, is that you really, I mean, there are times when you have to. You're like, again, if you're going into a meeting, if you're talking to someone, mm-hmm. and sitting and playing with your phone the whole mm-hmm. time, that's just rude. And mm-hmm. I you know, and we've gotten to the point where that's what we accept. But it doesn't mean it's not rude.
You're
it doesn't
right.
mean it's not, you know, absolutely yep. disrespectful to the person sitting, you know, to sit there with your phone the whole time, you know, and obviously going, uh-huh, yeah, whatever, yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Yeah. That is annoying. That is very annoying.
And mm-hmm. you know, and we've, again, accepted this, but it's not mm-hmm. acceptable to begin with, you know. So mm-hmm. the idea is that we, you know, taking a tech break, you know, like I just came back from the Sunshine Coast and I was actually out of cell range for a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit, like, the first day or so was really odd. And I remember just kind of going, I have not, and checking the phone and just kind of going, yeah. I haven't gotten, mm-hmm. nothing. No, there's really nothing. No, you know,
yeah.
and having to actually kind of retrain my brain to be like, okay, this is cool. I'm all right. Yeah. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, even when I went up to my wife's family who lives in the middle of BFE in Northern Ontario, no cell phone reception. We had to stay with her grandma. We had no cell phone for like 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was weird,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I was stressed by it. I just mm-hmm. kind of accepted, okay, it's just not a thing. It's not going to happen.
And that's where now there's a psychologist called Larry Rosen who talks about how a tech break can actually help you, right? So
tech break means just stay away from tech, like
meaning that you take your, like, when you're learning something, you put your phone away, you
right.
completely get rid of all of your distractions,
mm-hmm.
and then after 15 minutes of working on your mm-hmm. thing, then you take 2 minutes of mm-hmm. doing all your texting, get all your blah blah blah, like get it all your system, put it away,
mm-hmm.
get back to work.
Yeah.
Right? Because realistically, your brain can only focus on something for so long before you kind of need to take that step back anyway to just let things mm-hmm. percolate, right?
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, I know that there's training now for companies on how to deal with millennials
mm-hmm.
and their phone addictions.
Well, that's another thing. They talk about how, like, the U.S.
But not to cut it off, to give them an opportunity, you know, while they're working on the floor or whatever, where they can have their phone and how and mm-hmm. when they can use it, when it's safe to use, because they're not going to be stressed, like you mentioned, that they can't have that access, or, you know, and it's kind of like a calming thing for them or something. That also, because it's a very competitive marketplace, they want to do something to attract people that will get them to want to work, and you got to have your phone in your locker for 8 hours is going to be somewhat of a, it could be a bit of a push off for somebody. So teaching millennials how to have the phone at work but use it so they're also productive is something.
Well, see, and again, that's where it comes down to, like, using Facebook, using those kind of things, it ties into the exact same part of the brain that you use to, you know, for your general communication, right? And so the problem that you have in a lot of ways, like, even if you're say doing an email and working on Facebook, they're technically using the same part of your brain, but they're two completely different, like, sentence structures, right? Like, you wouldn't say the same things on Facebook as you sure. would in an email to a professional, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're technically using the same part of your brain to do two different tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And your brain does not do that, right?
Okay.
It does not do that. One or the other is suffering. And that's where it becomes, like, again, you can kind of convince yourself that you can do it because you can kind of pull it off.
Yeah.
And so you figure that's good enough. But in the end, if you were to do one or the other, you would get much better results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it just comes down to the, you know, they did a test where they basically put people and they gave them, they were doing a test for an hour, and over the course of it, they would either send them 8 texts or 4 texts or 0 texts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or no, it wasn't, they were doing a test. They were learning something. Okay.
Okay.
And so at the end of it, they would just ask them questions about their, you know, retention, and the people who got 8 texts generally scored worse.
Yeah. Right. Because they're more distracted.
But what they also found was that the people who delayed responding to those texts scored a lot better. So the people that got the text and immediately responded to it,
did
the worst. Mm. Right? Because they were trying to learn something, they pulled themselves out of that and then had to try to get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that could actually take that and store it and go, okay, I'll just deal with that later, they were the ones that apparently did the best. And they did a study in Stanford basically giving kids marshmallows.
Oh, yeah?
Long ago. And the idea was they gave them one marshmallow and said, okay, if you can sit here for 5 minutes without eating that marshmallow, you'll get 2. Okay?
Devious.
But they found that a lot of kids can't do it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with, you know, locking a person in the room.
My
without
daughter
their
would not
cell
be able
phone,
to do that.
Right? But they found that the kids who can do it do better in school, do better in, right? They tend to have better, you know, results in life.
More self-disciplined,
Exactly, exactly. Because they don't have those same kind of, you know, compulsive, addictive tendencies, you know, as you grow up, right? They're better able to just say, no, that's cool. I'm going to put that off for later, right? And then they retested a lot of these people later on, and they found that, you know, those were the ones that, you know, and so they actually retested this doing, that was the one with the taking people and then taking their cell phones away for a while. And they had the exact same thing. They found that the ones that were, you know, saving it for later did the best on all these scores. So that's kind of where it comes down to at work even, you know, is just a matter of like, you get your texts, you're going to get the texts, but if you can have that time to do it where you can still focus on what you're doing and then go and do that social interaction at a specific time, right? That apparently is about the best way of kind of trying to deal with all of this distraction coming at us at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. I buy that, man. You know, I'm just thinking about you talking about that at work and how, you know, because I get my office phone going off, my cell phone goes off, and then I'll get emails in between actually trying to do some work. And then sometimes like, this freaking phone just stopped ringing.
That's okay. So knowledge workers in the U.S. waste 25% of their time in an 8-hour day dealing with their huge and growing data stream. Okay. And that costs, get this, almost $1 trillion annually.
Yeah.
Okay. So all of those distractions, again, are costing money because you're distracted from the work you're supposed to be doing. You're not focused on what you're supposed to be. And it's not just, you know, learning. And again, like, you know,
I'd be lost salary. I'd take it. Probably lost production during that time.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
And again, it's also the fact that, you know, anything that you were trying to learn is now learned more shallowly, and you're not able to, you know, extrapolate and use that information in different ways. Because you've now had this thing in front of you that you couldn't, you know, put away for 5 minutes.
World's changing, man. They need to switch to a 6-hour work day. That'd be great.
Well, and again, if you could do that 6 hours focused, focused and just doing that and making sure that you could actually, you know, accomplish what you were supposed to accomplish in that 6 hours, I'm all for it.
That's the thing.
But,
right?
But you know, it's a matter of you have to have that kind of discipline to be able to actually focus on what you're doing, you know?
No fucking around.
Sadly, you know, and it's, you know, it's going to get harder and harder as we go, because the problem is that a lot of this social media, a lot of these, you know, like your phone, a lot of the apps are specifically designed to hit those addictive centers.
Oh, yeah, especially the pay, like the free, but you pay to play type ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, all of them.
Killing gaming, by the way, as a hardcore gamer, fuck that shit.
I make a point of you know, I mean, if it's something that I've played for a year, yeah, I'll put some money on it. But I refuse to buy, you know, if it's something that, you know, like that would be worth whatever, but
yeah,
I don't.
Like if I get a game for free and then you got to pay like $3 or something to make the game fun, and it's fun for me, okay, sure. But what pisses me
off, if I've been playing it for 3 months and then it's $3, sure, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not, because that's the problem, is that they all start that way, where you all start, you know, you start with, you know, if you just pay this $3, you could have real fun with this game, you know? And that's how they're all set up now, you know? And it's just, you know, I unfortunately, I have a tendency to play a game for 2 minutes and then
Yeah, no. Well, the phone games are shit. They're not gaming. But like Rockstar Games with their they came out with GTA, and then that was how long ago was that? That was like 4 or 5 years ago now. GTA 5. They haven't released another one yet because they got micro purchases in the game now, and they don't need to come up with another one because that's still going, and you can still play it online and micro purchase it. So fuck that shit, man.
And then one of the other things we're going to post here is the hierarchy of digital distractions. So, you know, it's like getting a text in bed, you know, it pulls you out of your sleep and you immediately have, your brain has to make the decision of whether you're going to deal with that or.
No, you don't, Aaron. You wait 30 seconds and then you get it afterwards.
During sex, sure. Now we're getting, now you're totally.
That's, if it happened during sex, the 30 seconds is very generous.
And that's the thing. And now it's a matter of if you can train yourself to have these longer tech breaks, right? And again, it's a matter of setting those distractions aside and learning to actually mute your phone and you know, understanding that it's not your fault, right? Like a lot of us respond, you get that, you know, when somebody attacks who you take it as a pain response, but it's not actually an attack. We're not actually attacking you. We're just actually pointing out the simple fact that your brain is deceiving you, right? And if you think you can multitask, if you think you can do these things, unfortunately, they've tested it. They keep testing it, and our brains keep going, no, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had did a seminar a while ago, a business seminar, and a guy talked about distractions and about like when you're talking to one of your, you know, direct reports or someone that reports to you, and you're having a conversation, you're looking on your cell that's annoying to them, and he did this thing where he's like, okay, I'm going to show you something really cool. And he held up like it was like a picture of something. It's like, okay, I want everyone to stare at this. Stare at this. You don't look away. Keep staring at it. Then you go over to the other side of the room. Okay, I have another picture here now of like a unicorn. First one was like a giraffe. Second one was a unicorn. Okay, now look at the giraffe. Now quick, go look. Everyone looked over and he goes, okay, now notice you're not looking at the other picture anymore. It's like a very dramatic thing, but it was like a... just a good point, like, you know.
Well, and I remember watching a video once in my fourth year of carpentry, and it was a video of, and it's basically a bunch of people with balls, right? And you're asked to count how many times each ball is passed between the five people that are in the video.
Okay.
Right? And so while you're counting these, it's a 30-second video or something, and then at the end of the video, the instructor said, okay, now did anybody notice the ape walk through the middle of the video?
All right. And there was an ape that walked
and like your brain is so focused on watching that ball pass, and he showed it again. And literally 5 seconds into the video, a guy in a monkey suit walks into the video, saunters in, waves at the camera and saunters off. But like literally you're so focused on watching, and your brain is tricked into just like taking out all those other distractions to the point of completely missing the whole point of the video. You know, and it again just goes to how easily our brains are tricked into thinking we're good at something that we're really kind of not, you know, and kind of being aware of those limitations of our brain. That's kind of what we're all about here, ladies and gentlemen, is just, you know, pointing out the limitations of our brains.
You're not as good as you think you are, people.
Well, and again, it's not your fault.
No.
It's not your fault. We're not blaming you for anything.
The way God made you.
I understand that, you know, we're stupid because that's the way we're made. In a lot of ways, right?
We're ignorant. Ignorance is the state of being unaware.
Our brains might get better at multitasking now that we're, you know, forcing it to do more multitasking, but that's going to be, you know, over the course of, you know,
millennia.
Generations.
Yeah.
And let alone the fact that, you know, what kind of a tax is that actually going to impose on our brain, which apparently already uses 2/3 of our energy over the course of a day.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're asking it to do even more when, you know, back in the day we had so few things to think about, you know, in general, you know, it was just survival. I mean, there was a lot to process in the day, but even that was 2/3 of our energy use. And now we've got not only this, but, you know, figuring out this and learning this and trying to get this and do it, you know, making sure you make this appointment and keeping track of having a map inside your head so that you know where you're driving to, you know, so that you can make your appointment to get to, you know, we've got all these other things that we're now asking our brains to do. And again, we're just not really, you know, good at this kind of thing to begin with.
We're trying to evolve too fast.
Well, it's more of being aware of that as we are evolving, there's going to be stumbling blocks. And there's going to be parts of our brains that aren't going to adapt quick. right? And that might take a little bit of time for us to actually be able to do these things that we're trying to force it to do better.
I don't even know if we are adapting or evolving anymore. I heard a thing that we're not.
Well, I think it was
a pretty important person said that. I can't remember who, but
well, we're still kind of mixing together as a species, I think.
So. Sure, I guess in that regards we are. But is the human race evolving? Are we getting, you know, the standard evolutionary?
Well, I don't know if we're evolving smarter, but apparently they are having to keep reset the IQ test baseline sort of. It keeps moving up apparently, but
really. Maybe we are evolving,
but that might
just
be because we're just getting better at taking that stupid test.
The apes are taking over, man. Planet of the Apes is going to happen.
You look at the States, and it looks like the apes have already kind of taken over, unfortunately.
In some regards,
yeah. Well,
yes.
There's a lot of debate as to what your definition of a human ape hybrid would actually.
Yeah, it's pretty polarized down there right now.
Well, we're going to have that discussion in our next episode here.
I think it's a good one.
I believe,
let's save it for that one.
Yeah. Well, I think we should probably, we're going to have enough crossover on all of these as it goes anyway. I think that kind of covers most of what I wanted to talk about anyway. There's a few of the kind of, stats and such in it, just about how much, specifically how much kids are using laptops in class. Apparently 63% of students are using tech to relieve boredom. In class, so whether that's a fault of the school system.
Now, was that good or bad? Because I remember being a kid and being so fucking bored. You remember just being so
and the worst part
bored.
Is they're getting the same stupid teaching that we were getting.
But I'm talking about on a weekend. I'm talking about on a rainy weekend, just being bored out of my goddamn mind. I don't think my kids have ever experienced that.
No.
No. I don't think they've ever experienced that.
Well, in short, 5 second bursts.
Sure, 5 seconds.
The internet's down, Dad. Dad, the internet's down. Dad, I can't do anything. I'm so bored.
I literally, we drive, and my daughter, we're 10 minutes away. My daughter, 2 minutes into it. Are we there? I'm so bored.
Yeah.
It's been 2 freaking minutes.
Yeah. And that's that might be one of the other side effects that we're leading towards is that inability to focus. All of these distractions where you never have to worry about being bored, how does that affect your brain and how does that actually, we're asking our brain to do more.
Yeah, there's that. And there's also the, my kids love YouTube, a quick 2 minute YouTube videos. If they get, they don't watch 10 minute, 30 minute shows. They sit down to watch a 30 minute show on Netflix and they're bored. 10 minutes into it, right? I mean, they watch Vine, or not Vines aren't out there anymore, but all the videos that they watch are a minute, 2 minutes. I disagree with you in the fact that distractions are needed. People need to be distracted
for sure,
from life.
For sure.
And if PewDiePie or Kim Kardashian even can offer someone a distraction, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I don't get it.
And my problem is just making stupid people famous. I have a problem with
That's a society issue.
And that's the thing, right? It's not a matter of it being wrong on any level or anything like that. It's more just at what point, how many millions of dollars do you need to shovel on these stupid people before you go, how many scientists are living in, a one-bedroom apartment because they can't afford to do the science that's actually making our lives better on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, and I think that's an education thing. Honestly, I think it all comes
down to education.
It's
the problem of we're not educated enough to recognize that watching those stupid videos is actually detrimental to us as a society and as a person. Lowering yourself to watching that shit all the time instead of taking your life.
I think if that's the only thing that you watched, then you're not
exactly. But how many people
high.
Do you know? I have friends that I go over to their place and that's the first thing they pull out. Hey, check out this video on YouTube. And it's like, what the
Who
fuck?
Who hasn't done that?
But that I've never done that. I've never once brought someone to my house to show them a stupid
video
on YouTube.
Oh, I would never bring
them
to your house. You copy and send it to them.
But that's, I know people that you go to their house and they pull out the stupid video.
Oh, yeah. Are they older and don't understand how things work? No, it's weird.
Old buddies of mine that, that's just
reminds
kinda
me of my parents that used to print off the chain emails and have them on the, you got to read this one. This is great.
But it's just, at what point do you go, why not find something smart to do? Why not take a class? Why not go learn something? Why not, take, you know, an hour to learn, listen to a podcast about learning things.
I hear where you're coming from, and you remind me of a family member we have that every time that her husband wants to play a video game, he's like, she's like, why don't you go take your daughter for a walk instead? It's like, okay, yeah, but can I play video game?
And again, like I'm totally for having blocks of video game time, right? Where you need those, you need that time to just have, you know, fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for sure something that everybody needs to do. And again, it's more about being cognizant of the idea that a lot of time is spent, you know, a lot of people go to work, they're 9 to 5, and then they go home and fill their head with shit all night.
Yeah, I think that's a different
their
thing.
Their entire existence.
And I think that issue is way deeper than just the availability of that or the prevalence of
it. But the problem is that, again, we're talking about the distraction and how that hits the addictive centers of your brain,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, but I don't
and,
know.
And how that distracts you from the things that you could be doing and how you now have to reset yourself in order to be a productive member of, you know?
But I don't know if I would call that an addictive. I mean, can you
TV?
I mean, if you are addicted to anything.
Well, that was actually one of the interesting things I found also was that, you know, this whole idea of a digital distraction. Well, back in the day, writing was considered a distraction.
A good distraction or a bad distraction?
A bad distraction. Yeah. It was considered that actually taking the time to write something down instead of just being able to hold that thought in your head was considered to be the, you know. And same thing with books. Reading a book was considered to be a distraction from your day-to-day, you know, so it comes down to, you know, what are you distracting yourself from, right? And whether that's...
And I don't know if these lowbrow things out there are, you know, I think they have their purpose, and
for sure.
I don't think they're hurting... I mean, if... But I don't, that, I don't think again, they're hurting, you know, the
but
world.
But now we get to, again, like with the laptops in a classroom, mm-hmm. right? At what point... Is it a distraction? You know, are you supposed to not have any laptops in the classroom because that distracts from your learning?
I think laptops help with the learning.
Okay, and now there have been studies that show that if you're sending texts about the class, that can be considered as note-taking. Because that actually, because you're using the language centers of your brain.
Sure, because you're thinking about the
past. Exactly. So now you've actually set that into your brain and it's the same thing with handwriting. If you handwrite something, that sets it into your brain a lot better than typing it or doing any other. That specifically, you know, lights up your brain to the point where you're better able to remember something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, I think we've gone over.
I think we had a good full discussion on the topic. I think there's lots more, especially on that whole cultural issue and the shift that's happening from cable to internet and to what YouTube's done to our entertainment field is
Like I said, it was kind of, when I came into this, I expected it to be a completely one-sided, distractions bad, right?
Yeah.
Brain can't multitask, therefore don't do it because you're not able to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it came down to the, you know, what are you distracting yourself from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like sometimes those kicking the ball videos are a great distraction from the day-to-day, right? And to just have that just, you know, knee-jerk laughter
America's Funniest
response.
Videos, they started that, man.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, there's definitely a place for that kind of thing, right? It's again, just kind of making sure that you're, you know...
Alex is very distracted.
Making sure that you're aware of the distractions and their actual effect on you and not fooling yourself about how...
Being aware of what's happening.
Yeah, that's kind of what this is all about in the end. So we appreciate you. We appreciate you tuning in. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter at LMS Podcast. You can find us on Patreon for sending us money.
Mm-hmm.
We like that one.
Mm-hmm. I will strip for money. Just going out there, everybody.
We find us on Facebook. Like us. We love that. Do a search for the Learn Me Something podcast. We're also on all of your Google, iPad, iTunes podcasts, wherever you find them. We're there.
All the things.
Like us. Love us. We love you. So share it. Thank you for joining us. And as always, to bring the brain home, Floriant Dendrite, may your brain cells flourish.
You've been listening to Learn Me Something with Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum on Hologram Radio. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe in iTunes and share it with a friend. to find other interesting podcasts like this one, please visit our website at hologramradio.org.